Building my life on a firm foundation. Maybe, Louise, we used to call that building your house on the rock, I think. Or somebody right. mentioned it that way, right? Okay. Yes. How are okay. you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful day.
It's a beautiful summer day. Yeah. Don't you love summertime? Oh, my goodness. It's so wonderful. And it's a good day for a picnic. That's right. Have you been on a picnic this summer? Well, if you haven't, maybe I can encourage you to do just that. You can have one right in your backyard if you want to, or you could go to the nearby park. And we have so many beautiful parks around us. And it's always so much fun for the family. And I'm leading right into my message today. You got it, didn't you? I'm going to be talking about a world-famous picnic. Did you know that the Bible has this story in all four of the Gospels? That's right. It must have been important to the Lord through the Holy Spirit because it's the story in Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, and John 6. How about that? So, you can go to any one of those and find that beautiful story. And you know what? It reminded me of the good old days when I was living at home as a child. My mother used to sing a song called In the Good Old Summertime. Some of you old timers out there, maybe you sang it or maybe your folks sang that song. And up a little bit later, Judy Garland, remember Judy Garland? She sang that song in the film Meet Me in St. Louis. That's what Google said. That's what I'm read from Google, so it must be true. Anyway, I was surprised when I did turn to Google and found this beautiful song that Mother used to sing. I can just see her now kneading the bread. She made homemade bread every day. Can't you smell it? Mm, it was so good. And at the top of her voice, she'd be singing this song in the summertime. So here's the first verse of that song. I thought maybe you might enjoy hearing it, those of you who sang it years ago. It says, there's a time in each year that we always hold dear. Good old summertime. With the birds and the trees and the sweet scented breeze. Good old summertime. When your day's work is over and you're in the clover and life is one beautiful rhyme, no trouble annoying, each one is enjoying the good old summer time. And then I can just hear her belt this out, in the good old summertime, this is the chorus, in the good old summertime, strolling through the shady lanes with your baby mine. You hold her hand and she holds yours, and that's a very good sign that she's your tootsie wootsie in the good old summertime. That was published, that song was published in 1902. Oh my goodness. The words were written by a man by the name of Wren Shields, and the music was composed by a man by the name of George Evans. I thought that'd be fun for you today to hear. Well, children are out of school now, and it's a special time, isn't it, to have a picnic. That's right. And with all of this said, I was reminded of all the blessings when I went on a picnic with my family years ago. My goodness, it was such fun, even with all the flies and the ants, to visit us. Well, this world-famous picnic must have been important to the Lord, and as I said, because he wanted us to read it in all four of the Gospels. I'll never forget when I visited the Holy Land and sitting on the green grass, and our guide read this very story to us. And you know what? My sweetheart, Warren, served communion to all of us in some little wooden olive, made out of olive trees, some little cups. And that was really a beautiful occasion. We were sitting on the hillside, and it was at Capernaum, where the city of Capernaum used to be. And of course, it was no longer there. Well, and you know what? Let me interject this quickly. Jesus' headquarters was right there in that area because he lived in Capernaum most of the time. Well, this picnic was not planned by those who attended. You know how usually everyone brings a dish and everyone takes part in it. But not this picnic. It was a preaching service turned into a world-famous picnic. The disciples had been sent out to preach and teach, and they returned to give an exciting report to Jesus. And they were about to sneak away from the crowds that followed because Jesus wanted to be alone. But the people followed them instead. And I'm sure that it was just about the largest picnic that was ever held in that area. The scriptures tell us that there were 5,000 men plus women and children. Now, I've been on some big picnics, but none ever that large. How about you? And then when you add all the women and the children, wow, that's quite a crowd, isn't it? Well, I have my Bible open in front of me. Let me read from Matthew this very story. Just a few verses, but I think it will set the stage for my comments. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. The crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. How like our Lord, always so faithful to take care of the people. Well, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Well, then Jesus said, "They do not need to go away. You give them some food to eat." And then the response was, "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks, broke the loaves, and then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Well, that's what Matthew wrote in his account of this wonderful world-famous picnic. And you know, when you think of a picnic, you immediately think of, now, let me see, what food shall I take? Well, so-and-so likes this one, and so-and-so likes that one. So you want to take just the best one that could meet the desires of the most people. Well, the people were so excited about who they would see that they all forgot and hurried away without anything to eat at all. Someone famous was in that area, and they wanted to see him and to hear him, and that was Jesus. Yes, it was Passover time, and the people were coming into the area anyway to celebrate the feast and to attend church at the temple. Matthew 6:33 says, "And the people saw Jesus and the disciples departing, and many knew him, and they ran afoot." In other words, there were no bicycles available, no cars, no buses, whatever. So they ran afoot out of the cities, and out went Jesus and the disciples and came together unto him. Now, they really wanted to see him, didn't they? Have you ever run to church? I doubt to say that most of us haven't made it a practice to run in a hurry to church in the excitement of seeing who was there. No. The scripture goes on to say, "And Jesus had compassion on them." Oh, aren't you glad for the love of Jesus and how compassionate he is to each one of us? Oh, my goodness. What would we do without him? Do you know him today? Oh, I pray that you do. And don't you wish there was that much excitement in our churches today that we literally run to get there and for a chance to hear the good news of the gospel? Shame on us. We ought to be so excited that we can still open the Bible freely in the church and at home and wherever we go. And Jesus said to the people that they were as sheep having no shepherd. They didn't know where they were going to spend eternity. Yes, Jesus had them sit down on the slope, that grassy slope, on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. It must have been hell during the months of March and April, for that was the time that the grass was nice and green. I understand that the mountain and the stillness of the sea makes for perfect acoustics, so Jesus could easily be heard above the crowd. Isn't that something? Well, if we could have listened to his message, I'm sure he was sharing with them that he had come that they might have a new life, and that he had come to seek and to save that which is lost. No wonder they were so excited to be there. They had been under such horrible circumstances, and they really needed to know where they were going to spend eternity. They must have shared that day that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. Did you know that? That long-awaited Messiah had finally come. What a thrill, and no wonder they forgot about time and forgot about eating. That was the least of their thoughts. It was supper time, and they had nothing to eat. It would have been a long hike to the nearest town, and besides, Jesus knew they were tired and hungry. For after all, they had literally run to meet him. I wish that you would do that today if you don't know Jesus, that you would literally find someone to show you the scriptures, and you could accept Jesus as your Savior. Well, it's been so good to be with you today. I hope you've been blessed and that today maybe you'll have a picnic with your family. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mabel Louise. You know, Terry was just mentioning out in the office that he was on the phone with people from Gibson Water Care, and they were doing some business and so forth. And getting to the end of the conversation, they said, "We got to finish this up because we want to be able to hear Mabel Louise."
So wonderful. Bless
hopefully
you,
they were
ones.
Able to get that taken care
yes,
of.
So I talked to them on the phone once in a while, and they're so precious.
That's wonderful.